Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Thanks, Maddie. Thank you very much. Those young adults, man, you guys are rowdy tonight, aren't you? I can hear it over there. Yes. Now, you guys as well. Good job. That was the rowdy wave over there. Now, I think we're going to tip over a little bit. I'm actually going to do something. Now, for everyone sitting over here, we've got plenty of space over here. I'm going to move my pulpit just a little bit this way, so I'm picking the center of you guys. So if you're feeling like you're out of it, just shimmy your seat now. You can do that. Everyone else, just turn to the person next to you and say, now I'm going to get you something to say something in a second. So just tell them their eyes are lovely behind that. You got lovely eyes. You guys can move if you want to move. I want to exclude you guys, so like, go on, shimmy. Come on, Mike and Deb, there's a seat in the front row right here for you. Come on, shift one across. You guys have got it. Yeah, come on, Pat. That'll be much better. Just one bank is fine. Very good. Now, Chris Blacker, where are you? Chris, is there an age limit for the men's breakfast? No age limit, so young adults are included. Some of those men. The young adult men are included. All right, come along to brekkie. $5. You'll never know what hit ya. $5. Bacon and eggs. Who remembers their first car? Their first vehicle. Who's still driving their first car? Yes, it's the young adults here. Very good. My first car was a 1980 model VC Holden Commodore. And it cost my parents $2,000, and it was mine, and I was proud of it. It was like I was going to call it baby blue, but it wasn't. It was sky blue, had tinted windows, and it was an auto, and it drove beautifully. And we put electric central locking in it, and we put a stereo in it, and I was like rolling. I was ready. And has anybody got a friend who just, like, if you need to know how to do something, you just know to go to that friend and they know exactly what they're doing because somehow they've done everything before. Alan Nelson on the screens up there was that man to me. And so everything about my car that I needed to know, he was the one who helped me out. And we got it rolling and it was lovely. Now, if you're like me and you had your first car, it holds a special position in your heart because of all the quirks that it had. But for me, it's not about the quirks as much as about the memories in the car. And I was thinking about that this week. And unfortunately, some of those memories aren't the best of memories in terms of the accidents that I had in that car. It was clean. It was, for an older car at that point, it was very clean. And so to dent that thing wasn't a great thing for me. But there was a couple that I remember of. I remember I was driving home from uni from Geelong. I did uni at Deakin in Geelong. And I drove back to Chirnside like 3 times a week, like that commute, which was great. I've spoken about that before. I think I've spoken about eating a pie coming back from Geelong in the car. You remember that? Remember me talking about that? Not good. And about me finding that happy medium spot so I could have my eyes just open enough so I could see the road when I was driving. That's not good either. I wasn't part of my notes. Anyway, I had a couple of accidents. I was driving home and I saw my uni friend as he was driving along as well. We caught each other's eye and we said a goodbye. And then all of a sudden I realized that the red lights in front of me and all the cars had stopped. And I went, bop. I gave a little nudge to the person in front of me. It wasn't too bad. We came away with, I just paid him some money and he said, thank you very much. That's how we dealt with that one. And the second accident was actually in my mum and dad's driveway, which is not a good one to have. I remember looking in my rear vision mirror where I was going out and I was like, I'm ready to go. I looked in the rear vision mirror. I looked in the mirror on the side. I backed back and you know that feeling, like it just went crunch. You know that sound? Have you ever had that? Who's experienced that crunch feeling? Yeah, I know. It's an unhappy hand that goes up. And that crunch was my dad's new car that was parked behind me. And so it wasn't great fun. And so there were a couple of accidents that I had. But there were also a couple of near misses. And the near misses happened to be in the wet weather. And this car had, I don't know how the brakes worked, but the front kind of, I think it was the front wheels. Maybe they weren't too good. But I remember a friend's car in front of us, and it was coming down, what's that road that Luther College is on? Yarra Road? Plymouth. Coming down Plymouth, and you turn left, that big sweep onto Maroondah Highway. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And he had stopped. And you know how it merges with the traffic, right? And I was coming down and he had a Jaguar and he was in front of me and he had stopped and it was the rain and I was fine. I was going slow, but my car didn't want to stop and I put the brakes on and I just almost slid faster than what I was going when I had my foot down. And I was slid and I think I prayed and I prayed and all of a sudden I opened my eyes and I'd stopped. So that was fine. A near miss. Yeah, I know. But the second one was out here again. I don't know why I'm giving you all the details. It was down near Reading Cinema, coming onto Maroondah Highway. You know that one where there's like always accidents, turn right onto Maroondah Highway. And I remember in that little car, and I had my brother there, and he was on the phone. And I came out, and I just had a little bit of a whoop, just the tail just went whoop a little bit, you know, when it was wet. I didn't know what I was doing really. And so we mounted the curb and said, hello, curb. And came back on some Maroondah Highway, and it was all fine. But my brother was like, what are you doing? We're going to have an accident. We're out of control. And it wasn't that bad, but we survived. And it's in those moments, you know, where you think you're out of control a little bit, you grab the steering wheel really hard. My mum, when she was in the car with me, she did kind of, if she was in passenger, she didn't know what to grab. She was like, do I grab the roof, grab you, grab the, I don't know what to grab. She just put her hands on everything as hard as she could to wish that she was out of that moment. But it doesn't matter how much you grab or how hard you grab in those moments. The thing is that the car has you at that moment. It's you're out of control. And I think sometimes life, if we're honest, can get a little bit that way as well. Where no matter how hard we have tried to control things ourselves, life just feels like it's getting out of control. And that's what I'll speak about tonight, is being out of control. So let's close our eyes, let's pray, let's open our hearts to allow the Word of God to sow truth into them tonight, to let the Word of God sit above that which we find ourselves in. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the privilege that it is to come and worship you, to give our hearts to you. Father, we thank you that we can open the Word so freely in this place tonight. And as we open your Word, we decide also to open our hearts, to allow you to do that work which we so sorely need you to do in us, that transformational work. So, Father, speak to us tonight. We pray. We thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Turn to the person next to you, say, you're out of control. If you really love them, say, that hair's out of control. Totally, totally. So, if you've ever been in that moment of being out of control, you'd know it's not a really nice feeling to be in, if you can put yourself in that position. Honestly, there's something quite unsettling about being out of control. You know, perhaps as a student, if you're starting at a new school or you're starting a new job, there's something it's the unknown that you're walking into that can be a little bit unsettling, that can make you feel like you're out of control. If you've ever been in another country or another culture before, you'd understand what it's like when you almost get herded or shepherded by someone who you don't know into an area which you don't know anything about, how that feeling of the unknown in that moment can make you feel like things are out of control. See, there's a moment of uncertainty where we say, I just don't know how this is going to work out. And I will look at two paths to being in that place of being out of control. And maybe you can relate to one of these. The first one I have called kaboom. It's the kaboom moment, and where everything happens at once. I don't know if you've ever woken up in the morning and, like, if you've got a pet and all of a sudden the pet has vomited on the carpet and then, you know, someone runs up the back of you on the way to work and you find out one of your social media accounts has been hacked as well and then you lose your house keys and at the end of the night you sit down and you spill your dinner all over yourself. You know one of those days? Have you ever had one of those days that, like, whatever you think, you know, if it can go wrong or it can be like that, it actually does. I have one of those days a little bit, well, maybe last year, and I just couldn't help but laugh through the day because these things kept going on. And you sit down and you think, man, this is out of control. Or the other kaboom moment that you can be in is when there's one big hit. There's one piece of information you get that is like, it like floors you. You know, perhaps if you've ever had that news of a loved one being ill or something going on, it's a really heavy hit for you. One of those moments that just floors you and you think, man, I'm out of control. This This is out of control. So the kaboom, and then there's the second part of that which leads us to being out of control, which is that gentle creep, where slowly things build up in our life and we add them one by one until that last straw leads us to that point where we feel, man, I'm out of control. You know, maybe it's an emotion that you've let continue that you know has been a negative emotion. Perhaps it's an addiction or even an attitude that left unchecked for a long time is that gentle creep to the point where you think, man, this is out of control. I am out of control. I remember a number of years ago now, I remember getting home from work one day and sitting on my bed and Cass was home and I just went in and sat there and it was one of those moments where I thought, you know, my body was fine, but I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to do anything. It was just one of those moments where I was just like, man, what is going on? I feel like this is out of control. It wasn't one thing. It was just many, many different things building up to that point where I just felt like I couldn't do anything. It was out of control. And tonight I want us to look at a principle based on the life of Jesus and what he did in one of these moments that is going to put us in good stead, whether you are going through a kaboom day, a kaboom moment, or whether it has been a gentle creep, potentially over weeks or months or years to the point you feel, man, this is out of control. To give it context, we're going to read from Matthew 26. So if you've got your Bible, you can read. You can get Matthew 26 out. And it's in the last few hours before Jesus has been taken up to be crucified. And he has the Last Supper with his disciples. And we're going to pick it up in verse 36, where he goes with the disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. And it says this, we'll read together. It says, then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. You know, we often think about that moment for Jesus and what he may have endured on the cross. And we talk about it and we think about it when it comes to communion. But it's not as often that we talk about what it was like for Jesus in that lead up to that moment, in what he endured in the actual lead up to the cross. And for you and I, those two words, and if you've got your Bible there or if you're writing notes, I want you to write those two words down. If and nevertheless. If and nevertheless. Some translations will translate nevertheless and they'll say yet. If and yet. If and nevertheless. And he says that powerful moment right at the end there. Nevertheless, in spite of everything that I've seen, in spite of everything that I feel, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. The essence of what Jesus' example to us right here in that moment of being overwhelmed, or in my words, being out of control in that moment, is surrender. I surrender. See, if you've got something, write this down. Victory for the out of control life is found in the act of surrender. Whether it's that kaboom day or moment, or it is the gentle creep, victory for the out of control life is found in the act of surrender. When that first car came on for me, my parents thought they'd do me another favor and spend a little bit more money for me to go on a defensive driving course. Who else got one of those? Yeah, has it benefited you? Yes? Or has it been just a fun day at the track? That's what it was for me. We had a defensive driving course and I went there and I took my VC Commodore and they teach you all these things and they teach you how to hold the steering wheel properly, you know, where's the right place to hold it, and they teach you how far to sit back and they teach you where you know, if you stretch out in your seat, how far your hand should be, like the proper driving spot, you know, to keep you safe. They also teach you how to corner and how to control your car properly, but there's one really fun part about it, which was called the skid pan, which was a round concrete pad that they spray down with water that you drive around and around quite fast, and that was a great thing. And that's teaching you how to drift, pretty much. I don't know why they teach you how to drift, but they do. So we go around, and you go around this skid pan, and you drive fast. You've got the instructor with you, and you feel that point where you're driving fast enough that the back of your car starts to slip out. And the whole point is that you get to feel what that point's like, and you know what to do in that moment. Defensive driving, we're on the defense, and we're going to get back, we're going to get control of that vehicle again. And the trick was not to concentrate on the direction of your car, but on the direction of the wheels. See, it wasn't about the direction of the car, it was about the direction of that which was steering the car. Do you get what I'm saying? Because the car could be angled this way, and if I'm sliding, my wheels need to be facing that way so that I can correct that and start to go straight again. So it wasn't about the direction of the vehicle itself, it was about the direction of that which was steering the vehicle. Look at this scripture here, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight," or make straight your paths. We learnt last week that as the heart goes, so does our lives. And one of the number one things that we hear people say when they're feeling out of control is, if they're real honest, "I need to get my life back on track. I need to get back on track." In other words, I need to make sure I'm pointed in the right direction before I actually start moving forward from that moment of being out of control. Make sure I'm pointed in the right direction. And I want you to know tonight that it begins with a heart after God's own heart. He is, as we see in Proverbs, the only one that can make straight our paths. And the amazing thing is, as I was writing this down, it just popped into my head, God's word, in that God knows the path from anywhere for you. You are not too far. Your wilderness is not too deep or too thick, and it is never too late. The direction of your life is determined by the direction of your heart. Proverbs 4:23, we read it last week. "Keep your heart," it says, "with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." You know, if we're honest about control in life, it is such a fragile thing. What can we really control? I was speaking with someone the other day about that thought, about having it together. You know, you talk about, "I feel like I've got it together at the moment," or "I feel like I haven't got it together today." And the determination of whether they had it together on that day or not was whether they went out with the same pair of socks on, you know, the same socks on both feet. Do you know anyone who regularly doesn't have the same socks on? Anyone? No? I know there's probably a few people. Yep, a few people in here that perhaps don't have the same socks. Just buy multiple pairs of the same one. You'll feel good every day when you walk out. That's what I think. It's pretty easy. But in all truth, we are only, like, honestly, we are only ever really just a small moment away from being out of control. There are so many things in this world that are out of our control. No matter how hard we try, every time you get out on the road, no matter how good you are at driving, there are some things that are just out of your control. And it is in our best interest, if that is the case, that we lead a life of surrender. That it is not just we wait until we're out of control, but that is part of our lives. That we lead a life of surrender. That we direct our hearts towards God. We make that decision every day. "God, I shift my heart. Perhaps it was moved the day before. I turn my heart towards you. I begin this day in surrender, saying, my heart is yours. Lead me and guide me today." Because we don't know what's coming next. We really don't know the circumstances. And honestly, it's not a matter of if, or it's not a matter of even when. It's a matter of how we're going to respond when life feels like it's out of control. But the point is, there's not all things. I never said that all things are out of control. There are many, but there are definitely things that are in our control. And there's a saying that is designed to bring peace and perspective to moments. That's control what you can control. Control what you can control. And what can we really control? Our response to the situation is firmly in our control. Our attitude is firmly in our control. And the direction of our heart is in our control. I know sometimes that feeling of being out of control can be almost a pit that's too deep to climb out of sometimes. Or healthiness is a mountain that's too hard to climb. And that temptation to go back to that out of control area is like, you know, I had the picture of this as I was writing this. It's like a strong man that is just pulling you back when you're trying to get out, and he's just pulling you back again and again. But I want you to allow the word to give you hope and truth tonight. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is," what does it say? "God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." God is faithful to get you up out of there. That is a promise for you from the word of God. There's a saying that we have in church, and I'm sure you've heard it said, and Pastor Graham says it, and it is so wonderful, brings so much perspective to for us to let go and let go and let God. And this is a great thing to remember, in that we can't do anything without Christ. Without Christ, we can do nothing. That his ways are higher than ours, and his thoughts are higher than ours. That there are some moments in our life where we can do no more in a situation, and it is simply up to God. Let go and let God. Just stand. Let him do his work. And this is part of that surrender that we're talking about tonight. But I want to expand on that as we finish up and round off the message and close up tonight. I want to expand on that saying and go back to the picture of us in the car. And Steph, you can come and play. We're just going to have a moment in the presence of God after we finish, and we're going to sing that last song, "O Come to the Altar." And go back to that picture of us in the car, and our hands are on the wheel, and we've just felt the back go out, and we've felt ourselves get in that little position of being out of control. Perhaps you've spun around already, and it feels like we're out of control. What is our response? What are we going to do in that moment? The first thing, as we talked about, we try and grip it harder. We try to arrest the slide. And unfortunately, when you do this and you lose control of something, you know, I think about, you know, I know this is something for ladies as well, but I think of men when they get, there's a certain age that men get to, and they've built so many things up in their lives. And they come to a point where they realize that perhaps what we've been going for just hasn't met what we thought it would. And we've built all these things up. And it feels like that last straw gets put on, and it just feels so overwhelming that we feel like it's getting out of control. And what happens in that moment is, and I'm going to take men out of this, I'm going to say all of us as well, all of us in this moment. And what we do is we go, all right, I've got to get this back. I've got to get back control. And we work so hard. And then we inevitably discover no amount of my power is going to help this stay out of control forever. And we fall back out of control. And then we work so hard and we get control. And then we figure out again, man, I'm out of control. And it's just this perpetual cycle that is so tiring that unfortunately people end up giving up at that point. They're like, man, I can't do this. This is so tiring. And so once we've figured out, going, oh, gripping it harder is actually probably not going to work at this point. Secondly, we've talked about it. We let go. We say, God, I need you. We let go and we let God. God, I need you. I surrender to you right now. Because I can't do this, man. This is out of control. I surrender. But you know, there's one more thing that I want you to know tonight. That as you let go of that wheel, You need to put your hands onto something that is never going to let you go. And not let go and let God for this time. Let go and grab God with all that you have. Not leaving one ounce of your strength behind. I surrender. I can't do any of this without you. And I need you more than anything. Let go and grab God. My last thing for tonight. The only way to arrest an out of control life or moment is to surrender it and cling to the one who is in control. If we do that, we need not fear the unknown. Whatever you're walking into, whatever's coming, you need not fear it, because he's in control and he has you. There's nothing that he doesn't have full control over. Are you carrying some pretty heavy loads right now? Is your heart heavy? I tell you, there's nothing too heavy for God. Look at this, Matthew 11, 28 and 30. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus, in those final moments, made the decision that I want us to make tonight. That at the point of death, at that point where things were out of control, he said, "Not what I want, but what you want. Not my will, but yours be done. I surrender. I turn my heart towards you, and I grab hold of you with all the strength that I have." You know those three things right there? I surrender, I turn my heart towards you, I grab hold of you with all the strength that I have. That's that response of ours in that moment of salvation. It's what Jesus Christ has done for us. We surrender to him, we turn our hearts to him, we grab hold of all that he has. So let's close our eyes tonight. I want to pray for a few people. We may not sing, we're just going to pray. I want to pray for a couple of people. If you are heavy laden tonight, if you feel like you've come here with a heavy load or a heavy heart, that the Holy Spirit is going to do a work in you tonight to know that that is not something that you need to carry any longer. You can lay it at his feet and surrender tonight. And secondly, I want to pray for anyone who says, "Andy, I just feel like I'm a bit out of control at the moment." Whether it's something that you've got going on yourself, that you feel, "Man, this is out of control for me at the moment," or whether life just feels so full and so heavy that you feel this is a bit out of control. With all eyes closed, if that's you tonight and you want to respond to that, and let me pray for you, why don't you just pop your hand up quickly, if that's you. I just feel like, man, it's a bit out of control. It's a bit heavy. See those hands. Pop them down. I'm going to pray. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your presence. Father, we thank you that we need look no further to you, Jesus, for your truth. That it lifts those burdens from us. And Father, I pray for each one of these people that have acknowledged this to me and to you tonight, Lord God, that you see their situation, you see their heart. Lord God, and as they bring that to you and say, "Lord God, I surrender. I am thankful for your faithful word, Lord God. That you are faithful to see them, to supply their needs, to see them through these moments in their lives. Lord Jesus, I pray for anyone who has an out of control area in their life. Father, right now we bring that to the foot of the cross. We say thank you, Jesus, for the power that is broken over that right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that you have won the victory over those areas of our lives. And I pray right now that these people would know, Lord God, that they not need walk any further, that it has been laid at the foot of the cross. Father, you have far more for us than that what the enemy, that strong man enemy, may try and pull us back into. And so we see those chains broken now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, that there would be strength by your Spirit in people to walk in all that you have for them tonight. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. Father, I thank you for those heavy loads that are being released right now. As we lift them off our shoulders and trust you, Father. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Father, as we go tonight, we don't want to leave unchanged. Father, we thank you for that your word is transformational. So, Lord, we continue to expect, as we dive into all that you are, that your revelation, the revelation of your word, Father, as we spoke about this morning, as Al spoke about in that amazing word, that is transformational. It is not just moderately important, but it is essential, Lord God, for us. We do not hide away. Lord God, we say it is central to our lives. So Jesus, have your way in us, we pray. In your mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. God.